I'm Susie Landolfi, and welcome to Be Crazy Well.
I want to read you something. Remember, the reason why we're talking, the reason why you're listening, I'm talking. I would prefer us both talking and both listening, but can't always get what you want. And when usually we don't get what we want or we do, it creates a mood. Someone said that to me yesterday. Somebody I was working with, a really amazing young woman. She said, well, I'm just in a bad mood. So I decided to look up the word mood. A temporary state of mind or feeling. So thoughts and feelings. He appeared to be in a very good mood about something. Then adjective, mood music, for instance. Inducing or suggestive of a particular feeling or state of mind. So now we're creating or suggesting a way to feel. Or you might have a feeling, thoughts and feelings. I've been always wondering why I hated the words, I'm in a bad mood. My dad was always in a bad mood. And it was so difficult. Like, where the hell did that mood come from? Why is it that he's in a bad mood? How does he get out of a bad mood? And watch out for your dad, he's in a bad mood. Or, hey, I'm in a good mood. And then you get more anxious. Why? Because now what if I ruin the good mood? Now, I have a degree in theater first. So before I did psychology, and they're very similar. I mean, think about it. If you're playing a character, you're learning about people and maybe why they do what they do, why they feel the way they do, why they think the way they do and act the way they do. So it wasn't a big stretch going from theater to psychology. It was interesting, though, that we also, in theater, did create the mood. And the way we did that was oftentimes through lighting or sound, maybe the music playing in the background, or mostly lighting, I'd say. Some costumes, some set. If it was very dark and not a lot of light, that was the mood of something ominous is about to happen. And I thought, okay, we're creating a mood. Or somebody says, there's a great old song many of you will not know called I'm in the Mood for Love. And simply because you're near me, that's the lyrics. I'm in the mood for love simply because you're near me. They didn't talk about pheromones. They didn't talk about, you know, the idea that there's a chemical reaction. They talked about the mood. Now, the trouble with moods for me, I kept thinking about, why don't I like moods? Why is it that I'm so resistant to the idea that someone can be in a bad mood or have a mood? I think it's because there's a justification. Let's put it that way. There's a justification for my bad mood. It intimates that somehow something happened or nothing happened, and I'm justified to be in a bad mood, or I'm justified to be in a good mood, and at any moment that can change. At any moment, this mood could change. So I could be in the mood for love, and if you don't look at me the right way, say the right things, do whatever I want, that mood can change instantly because they're based on thoughts and feelings. They're also temporary. So now it seems to me that when you say you're in a bad mood, or I say I'm in a bad mood, or a good mood, which actually I don't do that anymore. I don't think about my mood. I don't feel about my mood. I create my actions regardless of my thoughts and feelings. So this idea that it's temporary always bothered me as well, because now I'm walking on eggshells. My dad is in a good mood. Oh, that's great. Maybe it's because he had 3 shots of Cutisac. Maybe if he has 4, the mood's going to change. Maybe somebody said something right and he's happy. And then the minute they say something wrong, he's justified to be in a bad mood. And then I've got to deal with it. So I am absolutely against moods. I would like to do a whole anti-mood campaign that no one gets to say they're in a bad mood or a good mood. See, either way, it bothers me. Because what you're saying then is that these are feelings and thoughts I have. Nothing had to happen. I can just wake up in a bad mood. Now, just think about that. I don't know about you guys. At my age, I'm just grateful I wake up. That's all I got to do. Everything's gravy after that. I listened to a man who was a prisoner of war during the Vietnam War. His name's Charlie Plum. He lives right down the street. I make my coffee just the way I like it. And I listened to him because he actually came to a veteran retreat called Boulder Crest, where I helped work and helped create a curriculum. And he came, and I believe, now don't quote me on this, I believe he was locked up in the Hanoi Hilton for 8 years, that number, 8 or 9 years. And he lived in an 8 foot cell. I think that's why eight. I'm pretty sure that that's the number. I know 8 foot cell. The reason why I remember the 8 foot cell is because he started the presentation that he was giving the veterans and the staff by walking 8 steps, turning around and walking 8 steps. Now he did that for easy 3 to 4 minutes. And we just watched him walk. And he told the story about being locked up, being tortured, having other prisoners come in, and they were also tortured, and many of them died. And he came home after, 8 years or however long he was in there. And if you want to read about it, he's in the book called The Hanoi Hilton. You can look him up. He's online, Charlie Plum. And he came home to find out that his wife had assumed that he had died and married somebody else. I don't know about you, but at that point, I almost gave in to the idea that you can be in a bad mood. Yet he wasn't. He was sad. I'm sure he was even scared. I'm sure he had lots of feelings and lots of thoughts about what was going to happen next for him. And I think about him a lot because I was thinking about how optimistic he was, how much he forgave, how much he loved life. And I thought, is that the antidote to a bad mood? You just have to have something happen that's so horrific that you will actually be grateful. And you won't allow your thoughts and feelings to justify your mood. See, trouble with moods is that moods also determine action. So this idea that all of a sudden I get to act in a certain way because I was in a bad mood. Doesn't matter if I have kids, and doesn't matter if they need me. It doesn't matter that I work with other people. It doesn't matter that I have a partner. It doesn't matter that I have a dog. It matters how I think and feel. And I just can't buy that. I guess because I did it. I did it. And I had a lot of bad shit happen to me. And I remember my sister struggling with always being in a bad mood. And my brother, especially, was always in a bad mood, not always, a lot of the time. Now, people can say, well, it's genetic, it's your personality. I go, I don't know about that. I mean, I know there's some predispositions for genetics and all that. I know that I'm got genes that said, don't ever grow any taller than an average sixth grader. I get that. I just don't believe that we are so predetermined and predestined to be a certain way. If that were true, why do we even have parenting? Why don't we just put kids in a place and they're just going to grow up because they're predisposed and this is their genetics? Why don't we just, put them all in a place and anybody can raise them at any time? And because it's not going to matter, it's not going to change their thoughts, feelings. So I know there's obviously much more to this, and that the nurture of what we do with one another for the rest of our lives, not just as children, is imperative and so much more influential than our genes. So if that's true, doesn't it mean that all of this stuff on the internet now, do you ever notice there's so many people on the internet giving so much advice and so much wisdom? I love it. I scroll through it all the time. Operative words. I scroll through it all the time. And as much as it's wonderful to hear, it doesn't change a friggin' thing for me if I don't put the phone down and go do different. Or I could lie there with my thoughts and feelings and be in my mood. So the thing I've decided to do is, even in this podcast, why are we just talking about concepts as opposed to action? You know, I love concepts. I wanted to be a philosophy major at one time, and I took a philosophy course, and the entire course was trying to prove that you exist. And it was just these circular, wonderful conversations about not being able to prove that you exist. Great, loved it. Great exercise. It's kind of like going to the gym on the elliptical. Oh, I keep going and going, but I didn't go anywhere. Now I did improve my health. There's no question about that. I'm just thinking, boy, if I had gone outside, I might have actually picked up more information if I had taken that same action and brought it outside. So the philosophy class was great, and I decided not to go down that path because I really didn't want to just deal with concepts. I didn't want to keep just trying to prove something to myself or anybody else all the time. I figured that the best way for me to live or to be was through my actions. Now, that takes a lot of work. When I was talking to this young woman yesterday, she said that to me. She said, you're right, I get in moods. I know I get in bad moods, and I know that. And so we were talking about trying to change your thoughts and your feelings. And I said, what if we don't do that? And she said, well, then I'll be in a bad mood. And I went, well, maybe not. That coffee's good. So what if you still had the thoughts and feelings and you just didn't act on them? You went and did something that was good for you to do, you wanted to do, or you even didn't want to do, and yet you know that doing it was a good thing. So she's fostering this wonderful dog. And it's a golden retriever, and I know how much they shed. They shed almost as much as I do. And so I asked her, I said, and she's thinking of keeping the dog. And I said, do you mind dog hair? And I want you to hear that this is actually brilliant what she did. She said, yeah, I used to mind dog hair. I love the dog so much, and I just vacuum every day. And now I like it. And she said, my vacuuming used to be your going to the grocery store. See, I don't like going to the grocery store. I don't care about food that much. There's people that live to eat and some of us that eat to live. So it's not that big a deal of food, I should say. So going into a grocery store and picking it all up and then bringing it home and having to put it away just seems like an awful lot of work. And there's just something about it. I think I know what it is now, actually, now that I'm talking with you about it. Many times when my mom and us as kids went to the grocery store, we didn't have enough money. And if you didn't add it all up, you might get to the checkout counter and then have to put something back, and how embarrassing that was in front of people. So that might be the source of that. I never thought about that. Anyway. She now loves vacuuming because she loves the dog. So the actions of being around this dog, like having the dog with her other dog, seeing it with her children, having the dog bring joy, all of this love totally changed her mood about vacuuming. Her thoughts and feelings changed about vacuuming because she loves the dog. It's possible. That's what can happen. Now, I don't know that I'll always love going into a grocery store, or I could change that, those thoughts and feelings. Here's the difference. I don't have to. I don't have to change my thoughts and feelings about the grocery store. I just go. I just go. And sometimes I find something in there that I actually enjoy about it, that actually bring my own joy. Or I might even say, to myself, Susie, you'll be out of here in about 10 minutes, or do you really need to buy that? I might go check out myself. There's a million things I can do. It's not going to be for the rest of my life. And I think of Charlie Plum. Oh, I really don't like it in this prison camp. I'm like, okay, what does that have to do with how amazing he was? He didn't say that. I'm sure he probably did say, I hate being in this prison camp. That wasn't the point, though. The thoughts and feelings weren't the point. It was his actions. And here's what I'm going to say about it. He's told a story about how Stockdale, I don't remember his rank, was in charge. He was the officer that was part of the one of the prisoners. So he had the highest rank. And he said, you have a mission to get home. That's your mission. Your mission is not to hold on to all of this information you have, so when you're tortured, you don't spill it. He said, I don't care about that. You can say whatever you have to say to stay alive, because your mission is to get home. And I thought, brilliant, so brilliant, totally changed the thoughts and feelings about being in that prison. The mission changed. And the men that apparently really bought into that mission, one of which being Charlie, they had a better chance of surviving. They actually, more of them did survive. The ones that beat themselves up and got into a quote unquote, and this is sort of minimizing it, of course, a bad mood about spilling their guts when they were tortured, didn't. They had a higher death rate. So there were so many times I, in my childhood, in my adulthood, I have thought about and watched people that were determined their actions by their thoughts and feelings. So, if we're going to keep scrolling on the internet and people are going to give us all this wonderful wisdom and advice, of which I watch and I think about, and it makes me feel good for a second, I'm telling you, if we don't start sharing what to do differently to be different, I don't know that we're helping each other that much. It seems to me that we should be encouraging one another to change our actions. Have a bad mood. I don't care. Like, be in a good mood. I don't care. I care what you do because I know that what I do affects the world around me, the entire world. My four dogs, my son-in-law, my daughter, my grandson. What I do, how I handle, act on those thoughts and feelings, that is it. That's what does it. So the next time you want to say you're in a bad mood, why don't you just say, okay, I'm in a bad mood and I'm in a bad mood and. Now, why do I always use and? I never say but. I try to teach everybody to stop saying but, unless you're talking about someone's ass. Why? Because it takes apart the first part of the sentence. You're justifying the next thing that you're going to say. So I'm in a bad mood and I'm gonna smile today when I go into the grocery store. I'm going to go to the boxing gym, even though I don't think or feel better. I'm depressed. I'm in a bad mood. I'll say I'm in a good mood. And I'm in a good mood, so I'm gonna go do the dishes as opposed to doing something I really love to do. Why is that important? Well, because the dishes deserve to be done as well. And maybe a good mood will help me do something I really don't want to do better. What would, if that was it? So I invite you now to think about your bad moods and your good moods, especially when you wake up. Seems to me very important that when we wake up, that's the one moment in the day something bad hasn't happened yet, because you might not wake up and realize you didn't wake up and go, oh shit, I didn't wake up. But why don't we just open our eyes and say, okay, got another chance, got some actions to do today. I'm going to smile a little bit more, going to say please and thank you more, going to take some deep breaths more, going to slow down more so that I'm not in a frantic state. Frantic actions because my mind and my feelings, my thoughts and feelings are telling me, hurry up and you have so much to do, and blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden you stub your toe and you're in a bad mood. So I think that makes sense for us. I think it makes sense for all of us, myself included, to continue to decide how we're going to behave today, the actions we're going to take today, regardless of our thoughts and feelings. And so that's what I'm going to do today, is I'm going to go somewhere I don't really want to go. I'm going to do something I don't really want to do. And I'm going to make the best of it through my actions. My actions. And whatever happens, I get to decide how I act upon it. Nothing gets to decide my mood but me. That's who gets to do that. So I invite you. I invite you to decide your mood through your actions. If you're going to be crazy, well, it seems to me the operative word here is to be. That's a verb. And to be crazy, crazy is an adjective in this case. So crazy is this idea of doing something that maybe other people think is crazy. Like, that's crazy. How can you be in a good mood? You know, you just lost so much money in the stock market, or you just, you know, your car just got wrecked. How can you be in a good mood? Well, that's up to me. And that's up to my actions. Last but not least, well, I never want to let you think, or I never want to tell you that your thoughts and feelings aren't important. They are. And they are. And it's like a great title for a book. Your thoughts and feelings are important. And see, and is always the best part of the sentence. Because and means there's something else besides allowing your thoughts and feelings to determine your actions. So I can tell you, I'm very sorry that you're sad. I'm very sorry that you're depressed and that things, or you're scared. I can also say, congratulations, you're in joy, you're feeling happy and joyful. And what are you going to do today so that that thought and feeling doesn't determine your mood? Be crazy well. Well. Do it well. Bless you.